Leon Compton with you. It's that segment each month. We ask you to think about what's in the garage, what's in the driveway, what the car you're fantasizing about. Often it happens that a neighbor or someone in your neighborhood, even like I'll pick a car I love. I think, oh, that's done well. And even if we're talking about somewhere as big as Hobart, I'll keep seeing the car. You know, it might be in a car park, just passing me on the road, and I think, that's really nice. Has anyone ever followed you and knocked on the window and said, hey, are you ever thinking about selling this? If you've got your eye on something, what might it be worth? I mean, it's not all about the money. It's mostly about the feels. But what we're learning is that cars, classic cars, are going up in value at the moment. I wonder what's going on with just ordinary everyday Commodores and Ford Falcons, because my perception is, looking at the auctions, that just 10-year-old Australian-made Commodores and Falcons, like the last of them, even with the standard engine, I think we're starting to show a little bit of love for them too. Up next on Mornings Around Tasmania, Mark Haybittle, the director and owner of Supercar Secrets, will join us. Wow, a 99 Jackaroo diesel turbo with 190,000 Ks on the clock. Sam, from memory, that was an Isuzu that was rebadged. I wonder what it'll be worth. It's got a value beyond an everyday conveyance. We'll find out from Mark Haybittle in just a moment on Mornings.
The 2023 Farmer of the Year Awards. Get ready to celebrate the best of the best in the world of farming. The innovators and leaders in agriculture who have transformed their industry. Join the Country Hour as we recognise the passion and incredible achievements of the 2023 Farmer of the Year recipients, direct from Parliament House in Canberra. That's Tuesday on the Country Hour, right here on ABC Radio.
That is such a good point. Some of you will have just heard a promo for Belinda King in Northern Tasmania. We're describing a manual vehicle as a good anti-theft device because nowadays people jump in them and don't know how to actually drive them down the road. Mark Haybittle is director and owner of Supercar Secrets. Mark, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Leon. How are you?
I love a manual, Mark. Unfortunately, there's fewer and fewer of them. Are they becoming? Is the fact that something is a manual, whether that's a three on the tree or a, you know, four on the floor, making them more value in and of itself, just the nature of the transmission?
Definitely. I mean, certainly with some of the more performance cars, the performance collectible cars, people will only accept a manual. So they'll go chasing a manual. And if it costs a lot more and it's a lot harder to find, that's what they'll go for, much more than an automatic, for sure.
It's interesting. There's still, and I know you don't really do modern cars, but I'm sure you keep an eye on them. There's a few, like the Hyundai i30, and I think these new hot Corollas are still being bought out in manuals. Because that's just, there is still a place for them, but it is now becoming minuscule.
Yeah, look, that's absolutely right. But those cars that you're talking of there, they will be the ones that will go on to be worth considerable sums of money because the manuals are being built in such small numbers by comparison to the autos that the manuals become super rare by default, you know?
And so that might be something you're looking for. Unfortunately, with the modern stuff, you miss out on some of the safety gear if you buy a manual because you can't fit like adaptive braking as easily. If you know you're in fifth gear, it starts braking you down to 5 kilometres an hour. You are unlikely to be able to dig your way out of that without changing gear again. But that's a story for another time. Mark, you sent us an email just pointing to some of the gains you've seen in classic cars, so 1962 to 2000. That you're witnessing just over the past 3 months. What's going on?
Look, that's pretty normal. To be fair, we see this all the time, and that's why we invest in collectible cars, because they go up by so much. That's quite normal. To be honest, that list that I sent you, there would normally be a lot more than that. It's only because that's a little bit UK-centric, publication. You know, the UK's sort of gone through a bit of tough times lately, and so there's not as many on that list as they would have been in the last quarter, let's say that.
But as an example, a Ford Sierra Cosworth, so we've seen those at Bathurst over the years, up 20% just in the last 3 months, and for one of the classic older BMWs, a 1602, up 17%, again, just in the past 3 months.
Yeah, well, what tends to happen with all these cars is, certainly with the cars that we play with, which are what we call global cars, so they're cars that appeal to every market. So they're generally not so much the Australian cars, they're more the European cars. And what we always see is that they'll go up dramatically, you know, at a certain period in time, and then they might flatline for a while. But then suddenly, in the case of the Sierra Cosworth, people suddenly remember them again and they go, oh, I've got to have a Sierra Cosworth in my life. I have to go and get one. They're already at, you know, £70,000 or £80,000 in the UK, which is £160,000 Australian. And then, so they'll just go out and look for them, and it becomes like a sort of thing on forums, and they start talking on forums, and they just want to go out and buy that particular car, and then up go the prices again. And then that'll go up to the new level, and then it'll flatline for a while, and then they'll go again, you know?
And that's how it continues. We'd better race through the text, because as ever, oh, and Bob in Andover, just hang on, he's buying a very interesting car. Morning, Leon, I bought a 1988 Toyota MR2 for $4,000 a few years ago, and now I see them for sale for $25,000 plus, but I can't believe anyone would actually pay that much. What does your guest think about those prices? Ask Campbell this morning.
Well, they're worth more than that. He's talking about the AW11, which is the 1.6 MR2. We've got several of those, but we've also got loads of the later ones, the SW20s, which are really yet to go. So his prices that he's stated is spot on. In fact, I think if you look on car sales, you'll find that they're between 25 and 35 for the AW11, which is the early commonly known as the Mark 1 overseas.
So these are the little wedge-shaped Toyotas, often in red, and the engine was in the middle or in the rear.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're mid-mounted. And then the later one, which was called the SW20, which is more of a roundy shape, they were often known as the Paul.
Oh, sorry, Mark, I've effectively hung up on you. Hang on. I'm going to try and bring Mark back. There we go, Mark. Yeah, sorry, I hung up on you there. Sorry, they were effectively known as the, which one, the MR2s?
Well, the later ones, the SW20s, were effectively known as the poor man's Ferrari 355 because they looked like a miniature 355 Ferrari. But interestingly, going back to the AW11, the wedge-shaped one, they recently shot up the charts because Voyager, the band, the Perth band that was at Eurovision, had one of those cars on stage in Eurovision, an AW11 MR2.
Right, and thus they rise in price. Hey, let's say good morning to Bob in Andover. He's got something that he's thinking about buying. Hello, Bob.
Good morning.
And you can talk directly to Mark, director and owner of Supercar Secrets. Bob, what do you think about buying?
I had a Lancia Beta 4-door sedan, which I restored the body on, and when I was forced to sell it, it had a little bit of mechanical problem to it, which was only minor. Now I want to buy it back, and it's early 70s. What is the 4-door Lancia Beta worth, and why doubt it? The Lancia Beta HPE hatch, what are they worth?
Well, the HPE hatches are rarer, and they are now, amongst our collectors, they're now fetching 35 to 40K for the HPEs. They're a nice car, really nice car. Going back to your ordinary Lancia Beta, if it's still rust-free, which is, as you would know, is quite hard to achieve with Lancias, but if it's still rust-free and it's still a really nice, presentable, fault-free car with modest kilometres, anywhere up to 22, 23.
Yeah, well, I restored the body some years back and it's still rust-free. Only got minor mechanical work to be done.
Wow. Yeah, well, you're looking at 22 to 23. I bet you bought it for a lot less than that when you first owned it, Bob.
I bought it for $1,000.
That's what I thought, yeah. And you would have spent a fair bit on it, and this is the thing that most people don't understand. They don't always understand that the restoration work that you would have done would have been very extensive and would have taken a long time and would have cost you quite a lot of money to do.
Contrary to that, it only cost me $1,500 to do it up.
Wow.
Oh, really? Okay.
Good
okay.
on you, Bob. Lovely to talk to you this morning from Andover. And if you have a Lancia Delta Integrale somewhere in the garage, you call us back.
What a
and,
weapon.
Tell us about that. How much would one of those be worth, though? The rally cars, the rally cars from the time when rally cars were completely deranged.
Well, when rally cars were proper rally cars, yeah, absolutely. Well, there was two versions. There was the base model and then there was the Evo. The Evos are worth anything up to 200 now. The ordinary one you can pick up for about 120, 130 now.
In Deloraine, says a listener, there is a 1979 Holden Kingswood SL sedan, original condition, clean inside and out with a six-cylinder 202. It's going for $27,500. Does that sound like how much is it? What is the appetite like for really base
right.
model Kingswoods?
Yeah, look, that's about right. That's about where they're at. I mean, you know, who would have ever thought that a Kingswood would have been worth nearly 30 grand? But that's about where they're at. And they're probably going to rise a little more. I mean, it's the old story, Leon. Where are you going to find another one?
True that. Mark Haybittle's our guest this morning. What have you got in the driveway? What have you got in the paddock? Let us know. Maybe you're eyeing off a car like Bob was from Andover, thinking about buying back his old Lancia. I think Sam's being facetious, but I can't be sure. Maybe not. He's got a 1999 Jackaroo diesel turbo with 190,000 kilometres on the clock in very good condition. Is that worth anything sort of as a collection item, Mark?
Yeah, not really. No, not really. As you said correctly, they're a rebadged Isuzu, the diesel one particularly, they weren't all that quick.
The good news is though, I think there's one in the ABC car park that still gets parked here, so they're still around, which is a tribute to their reliability. So that's good to know.
Actually, just on that, Leon, do you remember, and they're very, very rare indeed, do you remember the Isuzu MU, the mystery utility? It was quite a radical-looking thing when it came out.
No.
It was a small four-wheel drive, yeah. Have a look on the net after the show and look up MU, Isuzu MU. Yeah.
Wow, and they hung on to that assignation for the MUX. Obviously.
Yeah, well, they did, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, well, check it out. I've never seen it before. 1-300-222-936. What have you got? I want to know if people are just seeing ordinary, everyday Commodores and Falcons starting to go up in value.
They've gone up a lot.
Well, yeah. Richard's in Blackmans Bay. Tell us your story, Richmond. Richard, good morning.
G'day. I've got a 2004 VY Commodore Executive. Sedan, auto, everything's pretty basic, but it's in pretty good nick.
How many Ks?
About 115.
Right.
1,000.
What do you think it'll be worth, Mark?
Much.
Look, it's a bit too new at this point in time, being 2004, so my suggestion would be just hang on to it and keep the kilometres down. Like, if it's on 115, try to not use it too much throughout the years, but just hang on to it because that will go on to be worth quite a lot of money in years to come. It'll be worth what VCs and VB Commodores are now, which is 25 to 30, you know?
Good on you, Richard. Just hang on to it. Try not to put too many more Ks on the clock. Jeff in Launceston says, I've got a 1995 Honda CRX Del Sol that is virtually completely original. They're increasing in value and quite rare. It's insured for $15,000. Should he up the insurance?
He should indeed, to somewhere between 25 and 30. That's where they're at. Well, actually 35, 25 to 35, somewhere in that range, depending on condition and kilometres, because they're a great little car, awesome car, and racing up the charts in value. You just can't buy them.
Well, again, maybe keep the Ks down on it just for Sunday drives. Mark, says Dylan in Burnie, if you had $20,000 to spend on a classic car today, what would you buy?
Toyota MR2, SW20.
Really?
Yeah. All day. You can still just about get them for that much money, but they're heading north fast. There's some in the 50s and 60s now. They're due for a big rise shortly. Once the excitement has finished over the Series 1s, which is the AW11, the one we talked about with Voyager, then it'll move strictly straight to the SW20s, which are arguably, they've got a bigger engine and they're a bigger car and they look a bit more sexy.
Susie in Launceston. Hello, Susie. A 1966 F350 dual cab style sides price asked Susie this morning. 1966 F-350. Were they out that early?
My knowledge on those early American utes is not that great. So I didn't think they were, but I could stand to be corrected. I'm a bit vague on that one, to be honest, Leon. A bit vague.
Could be a classic, though, Susie. Thank you for the text.
Yeah, I would think so. If it's 1966, yeah, I would have thought it was more like 1976. But if it's 66, it's going to be a rare thing for sure.
This is from Pete in Launceston. I've got a 1969 Morris Mini-Matic, never restored, perfect survivor, perfect interior with 56,000 Ks on it, says Pete in Launceston this morning.
Oh, wow, they're racing up the charts. I mean, it's funny with those early Morrises, they didn't go anywhere for a long time, but people are sort of starting to get onto them a bit now. They're worth the other side of 25 now, 25 and more.
Isn't it funny? We had so many English cars in the Australian market back in the day. I think when I was a little boy, so maybe 5 or 6, we had an Austin of some kind, and then our other car was a Morris.
Yeah, well, you might have had like an Austin 1100 or something like that.
Dad, if you're listening this morning, what did we have? We had two cars, an Austin and a Morris. They were our two cars, one of which we drove from Sydney to Melbourne, and I cannot remember which of those I'd rather drive least. On the Hume Highway in 1975.
Would have been a bit of a challenge, Leon.
Yeah, which one would you have chosen, by the way, too?
Oh, neither.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, to think
neither
about
that. Neither to drive any great distance. I mean, then you know, they're a great car and they were great for getting around in the day and they're great now as a classic and everybody wants them, but would you drive them from Sydney to Melbourne? No, I don't think so.
On mornings around Tasmania. Well, here's a test. It was the least loved Porsche of them all. Hi, Leon.
Oh, 914.
No, Leon, I have a 1981 924 Porsche, both in great factory condition. Are they worth keeping longer, the Porsche 924?
Look, they are. I mean, the 924s, they were the sort of ugly duckling, I suppose, of that range, and the 944 outshone them, you know, 10 to 1. When they came out, but the 924 still has its place. I mean, it was Audi based. It was sort of an Audi 100 with a different body on it. Worth keeping, yeah, for sure, because they can only go one way. Because 924s, most of them have disappeared, so they're becoming super rare, and they will only go up without doubt.
Odin in Signet, I've got an 89 XF panel van. Wondering if they're going to go up in value, says Odin this morning.
Yeah, definitely. The panel vans are super rare. Think about it, Leon. When was the last time you saw an XF panel van? Like, you just don't see them. So definitely worth hanging on to. Can't really tell you what it's worth without seeing it and the condition, because vans quite often get quite, you know, roughly treated. So, you know, really, you'd have to see the car and it's in the flesh. But other than that, you know, yeah, hang on to it.
And my son has lots of people texting this morning about Evos. David says, my son's got a fully imported Evo 6 in good condition with a rare light purple colour. What would its rough value be, please?
Oh, look, anything Evo is like a WRX. They are literally like a gold bar and they're only going one way and they're going one way really fast. And to give you some idea, we've got a couple of Evo 6.5 Macanans and we sold them last year for 180 for one and 200 for the other. So wow. An ordinary Evo 6, if it's not a Macanan, if it's not a 6.5, an ordinary Evo 6, anything up to 80 grand now, if it's really nice.
Well, let's talk to Edray. Edray's in Penna. Good morning, Edray.
Good morning, James.
Edray, tell us, you've got an Evo as well.
Evo 2 RS, caged car, but it's
an RS.
Road registrable.
Really? An Evo 2 RS is the gold bar of all Evo 2s because that's the one with no climate control and some of them had climate control, but it's got the right diff in the back and it's got the lightweight glass, all the bits. So they're the cars that we used to build into rally cars, those Evo 2 RSs.
This has been a target car, so it's caged.
Oh, was it? Right.
Evo 3 full race car.
Nice.
What do you think your Evo 2's worth, Ed Ray? Is it your superannuation fund?
I've got no idea.
The Evo 2, is it a road car or is it a converted rally car?
It's a converted rally car, but road registered. Yeah, it has.
Okay, has it got the roll? Is it got steel roll cage still welded into it, or is the cage not in there?
It's not in at the moment, but it's a bolt in, so it can be in or out.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you bolted it back in and put it on my 105, you'd probably get about 75 grand for it.
Is that right?
Well, there you go, Ed Reid. Sounds like you've invested
65 to 75,
well.
Probably, realistically.
Hey, you're on Mornings Around Tasmania. We've been talking classic cars. It's always nice to talk to you, Mark. Thank you for the chat this morning.
Yeah, no troubles at all, Ian. It's a real pleasure. Anytime.
And what are you going to drive today on the way home from work?
Oh, back in my Lotuses again. There's only one car with a power-to-weight ratio that is just so good to drive.
Good on you, Mark. Nice to chat. Mark Haybettle, Director of Supercar Secrets on your local ABC around Tasmania.